20, inside the 15, and he's tripped up inside the 10. Bridgewater, Jerry is right, 53, first and goal. Smith on third down, out of the shotgun, takes the snap. Here comes Danielle Hunter, he's all over Alex Smith. Who's sacked? Sharif Floyd finished him off. Sharif Floyd finishes off what the rookie Danielle Hunter started. And Smith has been battered two times today. Colquitt into punt. Bridgewater shotgun, third and goal from the 4. Teddy fires over the middle. Caught. Touchdown, Vikings. Kyle Rudolph's second touchdown this year gives the Vikings a 9-0 lead. Fourth and short from the 6. Handoff West. He didn't get it. He was stopped beautifully by Sharif Floyd. On fourth and short from the 6, the Vikings defense is dominating Kansas City today. First and 10, handoff to Kendrick West. He grabbed it. Recovered by the Vikings. Kendrick West dropped the ball, and it was recovered by Brian Robinson. If the Vikings can stop the Kansas City Chiefs on this down, they will be 3-2. Out of the shotgun, here's Danielle Hunter rushing. Smith passes left, and it's incomplete at the 2-minute warning. And the Vikings will have defeated the Kansas City Chiefs in very, very dramatic fashion.
Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, and I'm with producer Nate Vaughn, who put together that montage of Vikings highlights from an exciting 16-10 victory. Now, we apologize for the delay, getting the Wobcast up a little bit later than we normally do earlier in the week, but we were getting our pacemakers checked after that exciting victory on the advice of Coach Zimmer.
Had to get my pacemaker readjusted after that one, but, you know, we fought today. We did some really good things. Obviously, we didn't do everything that we'd like to do. We got to take care of the football better. We got to run the football better than what we did. I thought we played very well defensively, other than the 3rd and 9 that I wish I had that one back, or 3rd and 10, whatever it was. But I'm proud of this football team. I told them in the locker room after the game, it is never easy to win this league. I know all of the media are saying how soft the schedule is. Man, everybody in this league is good. So there is no soft spots in any schedules. And I told our team all week long that this was going to be a nail biter. And as you can tell from my nails, they are.
Yeah, Coach Zimmer said something in the locker room that, you know, no win in this league is going to come easy. And if you happen to get a lucky win, I mean, get an easy win, then you're a lucky team. So we know that these games, you know, come down to, you know, the final 2 minutes of a fourth quarter drive, or, you know, within having to go down and score a touchdown to win the game, or kick a field goal to win the game, or send overtime. So, you know, we don't want to be in these kind of games, you know, like you said, it happened.
And I think this team's a little bit different than teams in the past, and that's not knocking any of the teams in the past, but this team, I love the way we work. We work every single day, and we just try to get better every single day, and I think that's what has allowed us to, you know, really have a good start so far this season.
I don't know about previous Vikings teams, but this team looks pretty good. They're 3-2 right now. They've won 3 of their last 4. They have 2 big games coming up against division rivals at Detroit this week, next week at Chicago. How did the Vikings pull off their 16-10 victory? Well, it was complimentary football, all 3 phases of the team chipping in. Let's have a game recap and go over some of the good. We'll begin with the rookie wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. Hello again, Stephon. 7 catches, 129 yards, a fun player to watch. He was Teddy's go-to receiver against the Chiefs.
Able to get such good chemistry with him so quickly.
I actually have good chemistry with all those guys. You know, we just know that in this offense that each week a different guy is going to have some success. And, you know, that's one of the first things we talk about when we get together as a unit. You know, each week it's going to be a different guy who steps up and make plays for us. And this week, you know, Stephon did a great job for us when things were going slow. So, you know, we're going to continue to expect some big things from him, that entire wide receiver unit. We know that this league, you know, this league waits for no one. And with all the young guys stepping up, making big plays in this league, I'm happy to see Stephon contribute for the Vikings.
What about Diggs? How has he worked his way into the game plan so well, so quickly?
He performs. You know, he's a good kid. He performs. He gets open. He catches a ball. He makes. He continues to work. I think Teddy's got a lot of confidence in him. He's got a chance to be really good.
How would you evaluate Diggs' route running at this early stage of his career?
Excellent. Excellent. He's fast in the breaks, fast out of the breaks. Doesn't slow down when he cuts. You know, I don't know if he's always right on the routes that he's running, but he's pretty darn close most of the time.
On over 129 yards, some receptions, just kind of a game of life up here, right?
Yeah, you can't complain about today. My main focus was just getting the dub. Like, we got the dub, so I was really happy about that. As far as the 129, I mean, you can't complain about it. You can have a better day, but you can't have a better day. So I'm happy. I'm just happy to be in my situation.
You and Teddy seem to have a good rapport, though, out there. You got a good feel for each other. That's getting better every week.
Yeah, just as far as, I mean, being out there helps, practicing together, doing a lot of extra reps and things like that. All the little things matter when it comes to a quarterback and receiver relationship. So, I mean, we're going to keep at it. You know, I'm going to do everything I can, and I'm going to try to be that reliable guy.
You're the first rookie since Randy Moss to put together back-to-back games like that. What's it like to be compared to a guy like that already?
Seeing that he was a great, I mean, it's a blessing to be compared to him, but at the same time, you want to work hard. You want to do it. That's what you want. That's what you look forward to. I mean, you want to work until there is no comparisons. So that's my goal. I'm going to continue to work.
Did you get a sense with the game plan going that you were going to have a key role, or did it just kind of evolve as the game went on?
No, I just evolve as the game goes on, because in practice, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what you're going to get as far as you see. You know what you're going to get as far as what you see on film, but you don't know if they throw a wrinkle in here or there or not. But really, I mean, it was just on the fly, and I was just trying to be there for them.
Is this the most fun you've had?
Yes, it's the most fun I had in a while. Like I said before, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to work hard, and I'm mad about a couple of things I won't bring up. But one thing you saw was I kind of got tackled when I had a lot of space to run. Eric Brady had a great tackle, so things like that really, really get at me when nobody's around. So.
Like I said, that's the thing you take with you after the game, right?
I didn't really take anything else, but it's all good. Hey, still got a smile. We got a dub, so I'm happy.
Okay, let's wrap it up on Stephon Diggs. Two games played for Stephon, 13 catches, 216 yards, including 129 yards this past week against the Chiefs. Only five rookie wide receivers have multiple 100-yard receiving games in Vikings history. Stephon already has one. The Vikings have a bunch of games to go, so a good start for Mr. Diggs. Other guys who stepped up, another rookie, Eric Kendricks.
Alex Smith out of the shotgun on third down. Back to pass, and he's nearly sacked. He eludes the pressure, but then is sacked by Eric Kendricks. Second sack for the rookie from UCLA, and the Chiefs have to punt.
Yeah, it's a lot of young guys making plays. You can't ask for nothing more, especially Kendricks on the other side. That's my guy, especially when he got that sack. I get so excited seeing people do well, and it's a good feeling.
Mr. Kendricks, who got his second career start against the Chiefs, was all over the field. 13 tackles, which ties a franchise record for single-game tackles by a rookie. Harrison Smith did it in 2012 most recently. Now you add Eric Kendricks to that list. Now, Stephon Diggs and Eric Kendricks, for their standout performances against the Chiefs, have been nominated for Pepsi Rookie of the Week honors. You can vote for either of those two players or for both of them, because you can vote as many times as you want by going to Vikings.com or NFL.com. Stephon Diggs and Eric Kendricks, the rookie report, looking very good coming out of that Chiefs game. Another rookie, Danielle Hunter. He stepped in, got his first career start for Everson Griffin, who was a late scratch, and Danielle played well. He even forced a fumble.
When they first told you that you were going to make the start, were you nervous? You said, this is my shot. What was going through your mind?
You know, my position coaches, they came up to me, you know, this is what you've been practicing for, you know. Any time could be your time. So, you know, when it came time for me to go out there, I was ready for it.
It was pregame. You know, we practiced all week. You always got to be ready for practice. Coach preaches to us, you know, about always being ready. Next man up.
I thought Hunter did some good things. You know, I think one of the sacks that Sharif got, he had a very nice rush. I'm trying to see so many things. It's hard for me to focus on one guy unless they really flash or I check the replay. But I thought he did some good things. And I knew about Everson around, 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that.
A lot of Vikings rookies have been playing well this season, but that was Danielle Hunter's first real big-time action in a game. He's been playing and playing on defense and playing a bunch on special teams, but he got the start on Sunday against Kansas City, and he played well out there on the edge. The interior of the Vikings defensive line was good too. The entire defensive line was good, really, when you look at it. Kansas City, 3.2 yards per carry. five times with to-go distances of 4 yards or less, the Chiefs ran the ball and were stopped, including a series late in the third quarter when the Chiefs were inside the Vikings 10. They had it 2nd and 4, 3rd and 1, 4th and inches, all three running plays, all three stops by the Vikings defense. You had Linval Joseph, who made a play on the second down. You had a bunch of linebackers who made the play on third down, including both Sharif Floyd and Linval Joseph were double-teamed. That allowed Anthony Barr to come through the hole and make a stop on third down. And then on fourth down, of course, Sharif Floyd makes a great play and gets a tackle for no gain on 4th and inches to turn the ball over to the Vikings offense. So a great performance by the Vikings defense overall, only allowing 10 points to the Kansas City Chiefs. But that defensive line, once again, playing great at home. We remember how they pummeled Matthew Stafford and Phillip Rivers earlier in the season at home, and they pummeled the entire Chiefs defense on Sunday at home. So love to see those guys playing that well. As you heard Teddy say at the top of the Wobcast, sometimes you just got to grind through and win games the old-fashioned, ugly way. That's what the Vikings did against the Chiefs. Winning close and ugly games is what good teams do a lot of the times. Vikings, the second-ranked scoring defense in the NFL, 6 consecutive home wins. This season at home, they are 3-0. They are +2 in turnover margin. They are +33 points. And they are tied for 2nd in scoring defense in home games, giving up just 13.3 points per game at home. So the Vikings playing well at home right now. Okay, so what needs improvement off of the victory? Well, Coach Zimmer and Adrian have some ideas.
Well, I don't think we blocked very good, to be honest with you. I don't think we blocked good enough. We didn't create enough seams. Wasn't good enough. Yeah, we're going to have to, because we sure didn't, that's not really what I want to look like. I want to, net -1 here, -2 there, 3 there. So, we're going to work on that.
You know, we knew that coming into the game. We're playing against a physical group. It was going to be a good challenge for us. And, we just wanted to just get out there and try to establish the run game. You know, those 1-2 yard, 3 yard gains. Helped us keep some drives alive, and Teddy, played a good game today. He was able to come out with the victory, so I'll take it. And that's what it's all about, forcing the team, pick your poison. You're going to stop the run or pass, and, they chose to stop the run today, and it opened it up for us in the pass game, and we were able to be productive and get some points on the board. There was a lot of things we didn't do well. We wish we could have back, but it's better to talk about those things with a W. So we'll clean things up and get ready for Detroit.
I'll throw a couple of more areas that could use some improvement going into the Detroit game. You don't like to see those interceptions. Teddy threw 2 interceptions. The first one was tipped. The second one was a nice play by Marcus Peters, but you want to take better care of the ball and win the turnover battle every game. And then red zone scoring. The Vikings were in the red zone 3 times, came away with just 1 touchdown. We're thankful for Blair Walsh finishing those drives with field goals, ended up making a big difference in a 6-point game, but you'd like to put 6 points on the board when you get in the red zone. The Vikings, just 1 of 3 against the Chiefs, want to improve in that area as well. Okay, 2 teams in the NFC North played one another last week, and the Vikings have 2 consecutive games against teams in the NFC North. So in no week has an NFC North update been more important than this week. That's why we bring in Nate Vaughn to take us for a spin around the division. Hello, Nate.
Hello, Wobby. Those 2 teams that played each other, the Lions and the Bears, the Vikings' next 2 opponents, respectively, at Ford Field. That's where we're going to be this coming weekend. So the Lions defeated the Bears 37-34 in overtime.
A barn burner,
yeah. In the NFC North. Huge games from big players for both teams. Huge games from Stafford, Jay Cutler, Calvin Johnson, and Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, goody.
All big stat lines. Alshon's back. Looks like Megatron is getting closer to what his old form used to be, and then Stafford and Cutler back to slinging it around, at least for a week. So what did that game tell you about not just this coming matchup against the Lions, but also next week's matchup against the Bears for the Vikings?
Well, I'm doing the quick math here on the notes that you've provided. Stafford, 405 yards passing. Cutler, 353. Quick math, 758 yards passing for those 2 quarterbacks in that game. And 5 touchdowns to boot. So These two teams are going to air it out. They're going to air it out against everyone they play. They're going to air it out against us. We're going to see it against the Detroit Lions on Sunday. I did go back and I watched all of Matthew Stafford's passes from that game. He had 50 dropbacks. I believe it was 42 attempts. Did a nice job of scrambling. He pulled the ball down and ran six times, was sacked twice. So, Matthew Stafford in that Lions passing game, that's no joke. I know that they're 1-5, and that doesn't look very intimidating, but they put the ball up in the air a lot. They put a lot of pressure on the back end of a defense. The best way to alleviate that pressure for the back end of the defense is to rush the passer effectively and wisely, so you're not letting Stafford get out and extend plays with his legs so he can throw downfield or even pick up yards by tucking in and running. So, to me, that's the number one storyline in the game, is you're going up against Matthew Stafford and this passing offense.
And the Lions, they had a very tough early schedule. So
yeah,
this game aside, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lions start winning a few more games later in the season than it might have been difficult right. for them to come by some easy wins.
And you get a close win in overtime, a win in which you had to come back at the end, and then the Bears come back at the very end and tie, and then you go to overtime and win the game. So, I mean, an exciting win at home to get off the schneid and get your first victory. I mean, obviously they have some momentum. So it's a division game. Those are always important. It's a road game. Those are always tough. And it's Matthew Stafford. He's always pretty good. So the Vikings will have their hands full this weekend.
What did you see from the Bears side of things?
Well, I saw a Bears secondary that, again, a lot of pressure on them because Stafford puts the ball in the air so much, and you have Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate. They even have Lance Moore running around for them making plays. They signed tight end Tim Wright because they're banged up at tight end. We saw that a few weeks ago when they came to Minnesota. They were banged up at the position, but I thought tight end Tim Wright played well. They throw out of 11 personnel a bunch. That's one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers, Stafford in the gun. They do that almost all game. They have a nice rookie runner in Amir Abdullah. And, it's an offense that can challenge you in a lot of different ways, but primarily through the air. So Captain Munnerlyn played really well against the Chiefs. That was awesome to see. I hope that continues. You saw Trey Waynes get a few more reps, rotating in and out with Terrence Newman. Thought he played well. Xavier Rhodes is Xavier Rhodes. You love to see that. So, I mean, I think the Vikings are equipped in the back end to go toe-to-toe with the Lions and to even do better than the Lions can do. But it's not an automatic that it's going to happen. Now, the Bears, I saw not a ton from the Bears, because I was watching mostly the Lions. But, the Bears have a nice corner in Kyle Fuller, who he's really good. And they have a great outside linebacker, a guy I really like, in Pernell McPhee, who can do a lot of different things. He can drop into coverage and he can rush the passer. I thought he looked pretty good. So the Bears have some talent on defense. Didn't watch any of the Bears' offense, but they scored 34 points. And Jay Cutler looks to have calmed down. He's staying in the pocket a lot more, and he's making throws from there. He's got Alshon Jeffrey, who's a very good receiver, Martellus Bennett, who's a tough matchup, and one of the better dual threats in the NFL, and Matt Forte. So the Bears put up some good numbers too, and they put up 34 points. So obviously something was working on offense.
So the Lions now 1-5, hosting your Minnesota Vikings this weekend. The Bears 2-4, getting the week off, having a bye on this week 7. So we'll move from one barn burner to another barn burner in the north. This time, the Packers invited the Chargers. And Philip Rivers came in, and if you just looked at the stat line, you would say he had his way with the Packers defense. Yeah. But the final score said otherwise. 27-20, the Packers took care of the San Diego Chargers. Packers still undefeated, now 6-0, also enjoying a bye this coming weekend. Resting up, getting healthy. They have quite a few injuries, at least on the offensive side of the ball, mm-hmm. that they're going to have to deal with. So what did you see from the Packers matchup against the San Diego Chargers?
Well, I saw a disappointing finish. I mean, a fun finish to watch, obviously, but disappointing. The Chargers could not punch it in from inside the five as time was winding down. I love watching Philip Rivers, and I love watching Green Bay lose. And so I thought I was in for the perfect ending. And I also wondered, Nate, what the Chargers would have done had they scored. Because let's say that the Chargers score a touchdown in that situation. So now they're down by one.
Do you go for the tie right. or do you go for the win at Lambeau?
I thought that would have been interesting because you have to know, you're a pretty big underdog going into Lambeau Field if you're the Chargers. I think they were 10.5-point underdogs. And here you've got your quarterback thrown for 500-plus yards and is putting a gutty performance out there for you, leaving everything he has on the field. He's stretched and stretched and stretched this thing to tie the Packers at the buzzer, or actually to go down by one to Green Bay at the buzzer if you had scored there. I think you can make a compelling case to go for two rather than try that long point after touchdown attempt. And I wouldn't have been surprised if Mike McCoy would have done it. You know, and you give your team a chance to steal a victory in regulation, and what a huge momentum boost that would be for you to win a game that way. I wish we could have seen what would have happened, but unfortunately, Green Bay's defense made a stand when it counted the most. Rookie defensive back Demaryius Randall had a pass deflection on fourth and goal, and the Chargers come away losers. The Packers remain undefeated. So I think you saw more of the same from the Chargers in that game, similar to what you saw with them in our game against San Diego at home from the Packers. Again, you know, we talked about this in the last Wobcast, Nate. The Packers defense is making plays and really stepped up and won that game in the end for Green Bay, because Green Bay's offense couldn't seal the deal, and put together a bunch of first downs to run the clock out. The defense had to come back out on the field, and they ultimately made a stop. So that's what I see from Green Bay. I see maybe at this juncture a Packers offense that's not clicking on all cylinders like we've seen in the past, but is still better than almost everyone else anyway, but a defense that's playing better than it has in the past. And so that's not a good thing to see.
Sort of bend but don't break defense from the Packers. How often do you see over 500 yards passing given up and only 20 points?
Right. That's a good point.
Kind of odd.
Yep.
All right. We'll move on now to over-unders.
Okay.
You entered the week 6-6, so sitting at 500. The first over-under we took a look at was tackles for Eric Kendricks. We said this would probably be a good test for him. He likes to move side to side and get all over the place, and that's exactly what he did. We put the over-under at 5.5. That proved to be a pretty modest number looking at his final total.
Because he had 13.
He had 13 total tackles.
And
yeah.
Let me also say, let's count all the other columns of the stat sheet where he had a tally, right? Tackle for loss, sack, pass breakup. Those are ones I can think of right off the top of my head. So, I mean, he was all over the field. Well, that's what we say about Anthony Barr, all over the field, making plays against the pass, against the run, rushing the passer. Well, that's what we're saying about Eric Kendricks, a sack in a second consecutive game for Mr. Kendricks. Love seeing how well he's playing, and that looks like it's a pretty dynamic duo at linebacker right now with Kendricks and Barr, which is what the Vikings thought they had when they drafted both of them.
I wonder if Miles Jack likes the prospect of coming up to Minnesota.
Yeah, recent trends would suggest Miles Jack should be in your mock draft for the Vikings. Now, we used to be called Notre Dame North. Maybe now we're UCLA North. Who knows? I mean, our assistant general manager, George Payton, is a UCLA alumnus. So maybe we're UCLA North.
Well, judging by the last two picks, I'd say that'd be an okay thing.
Right. So yeah, I would agree with that.
So we put the over-under at 5.5. You took the over. You were correct.
Yes.
You were very correct on that one.
Above 500.
Yes. So you're above 500 now. Having picked that, you're 7-6.
Okay,
moving on to the next one, we looked at total sacks. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got Justin Houston and Tom Bahali on the edges for the Chiefs. We've got our own guys. One of them ended up being a scratch, so that kind of threw a wrench into things. So we set the over-under at 5.5, and you took the over, thinking it would be a good day for pass rushers on either or both sides. Turned out the result was under 5.5. It was 2 sacks for each team, 4 total. So you missed out on that one. What have you to say about that?
Well, I'm going to petition Vice President of Content, Brian Harper, and see if I can get a reversal of this one, or at least a neutralization of this one, because a key member of this thing didn't play in the game, Everson Griffin. I mean, I win this. I win this if Everson plays, in my opinion. Do you think it'll work?
I feel like that could be denied because his replacement had at least half of a sack, or was part of a sack.
God, you make a good point. Danielle Hunter did show up big. All right, so I lose this one. Hey, good day for the offensive tackles. We said TJ Clemmings and Matt Khalil were going to have a tough battle on their hands, and I will throw D Ford into that, Nate, as a pretty good edge rusher as well. He can come at you. So you know what? Good day by the offensive tackles on both sides. And in all of the aftermath of the game, with everyone talking about all the rookies who played well for the Vikings, Eric Kendricks, Stephon Diggs, how about TJ Clemmings? I mean, Justin Houston was not a major factor in this game, and most teams who play Justin Houston don't get to say that. The Vikings get to say that, and a big part of it was TJ Clemmings, so a good job by him of battling Justin Houston for most of the day.
I feel like as a rookie being thrown into the starting lineup, we could be saying his name a lot more often than we are, which is a good thing now that we're not really saying his name much.
Agreed. And I think that it's as good as it is this early, given he didn't expect to start, I think is a good sign for what's to come for TJ Clemmings.
So another good addition in the 2015 draft.
Yep.
The final over-under we took a look at was points off of field goals. We kind of knew what we had in Blair Walsh. We know Cairo Santos has a healthy handful of the Chiefs' total points through this season so far. So we set the over-under pretty high, even though you took the under at 16.5. You were correct. The total was 12 points. Our guy was 3 for 3. There's 1 for 1. Mm-hmm. 4 field goals, 4 times 3 is 12, Wobby, if you
good
do the math.
Math.
So you were right on that one. You took the under and you were correct.
Well, I thought we would finish drives with touchdowns, and that's why this thing would be under, because we would score a lot of points, but Blair would be adding them up one at a time with extra points and not field goals. We didn't score a bunch of touchdowns. We got one touchdown, and it came in the red zone. Two other red zone possessions resulted in field goals, but you know, I thought it was the best game of the season for Blair. 3 for 3 on his field goals, 1 for 1 on his point after touchdown attempt. He had 3 touchbacks on his 5 kickoffs, and on the other 2 kickoffs, the Chiefs returned them for an average of 19.5 yards per return, a 20-yarder and a 19-yarder. And when you add it all up, the Kansas City Chiefs did not score a point on a possession that began after a Blair Walsh kickoff. I don't know what more you can ask for from your kickoff team and from your defense than to work in tandem that way. So I thought it was a very good day for Mr. Blair Walsh.
So you were 6-6 going into this week. Now 8-7, you're above 500 going into week 7. So best of luck to you the rest of the way,
you.
I suppose.
I'm one game above 500 going into week 7, as are the Vikings.
Coming up on the halfway point already of the NFL season.
Yeah, we are. And the next game is always the most important game. And for the Vikings, that's a battle with division rival Detroit. An interesting scheduling quirk, the Vikings will finish up their season series with the Detroit Lions before they play their first game against the other two division opponents, Chicago and Green Bay. But then they quickly take care of one of those games against the Chicago Bears. They play the Chicago Bears in week 8. So back-to-back division games on the road for your Minnesota Vikings, a Minnesota Vikings team that is 3-2. Is coming off of a victory and has the second-ranked scoring defense in the NFL. Nate Vaughn and Vikings fans, that is very good news for your Minnesota Vikings. So Vikings and Lions coming up Sunday at noon. We're going to take a deeper dive into that game, Nate Vaughn and I will, in the next edition of the Wobcast, which will come up later in the week. But for now, that's going to do it. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, encouraging you to check us out again for another Wobcast later in the week. And in the meantime, encouraging you to go to Vikings.com and check out all the great content we're going to have there, as well as download the Vikings app if you haven't done so already. All of our content delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. That's it for now. Until next time, we will talk to you later.
So, yeah!